Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We are three girls who like to sit around, drink coffee, and talk about true crime.
True crime.
Amongst other things, I recently fell down the rabbit hole of learning about how people used to eat people, like mummies, back in the day as medicine. So they were just straight up, there's like all sorts of mummies in Egypt and Cairo and all that stuff, and they would dig them up and eat them.
For medicine.
For medicine.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of mummies It was like when we started discovering mummies, we're like, there were so many of them because like everyone dies, right? So like it was part of their whole death thing in general.
Uh-huh.
So there used to be a lot of mummies, but people ate them.
What happened?
Particularly white people. White people like English, all those kind of guys, they would just be prescribed a mummy and they'd eat them.
What happened to them?
Wasn't the whole part of mummification to like be respectful of the dead body, and now white men are just going to sell them and eat them?
Well,
is that what I'm, so let is me that also, what I'm hearing on your
let
mouth?
Let me also say that it isn't just a white person that came up with the idea. It was definitely people of their own culture that were like, I know a way to make money. So there was that also. Like, there was just a lot going on there. It wasn't just, there was some white people that were like, white people magic. And then other people that were like, oh, white people are buying this. Let's just sell it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what happened to people that ate mummies?
They're fine.
They're fine.
Eating mummies.
Eating mummies. For medical reasons.
Yeah, it was just the English being like, hey. Yeah, a lot of people did it.
Medical mummies.
Mincing.
You think there are still people that do that today?
Yeah, I wouldn't put, I mean, we're not the only culture out here, so like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
People do all sorts of weird stuff.
Do you think, like, because you know there's, like, that whole thing about those companies that claim to be, like, you know, organ donors, or you can take your body here, but, like, they actually maybe sell them for medical reasons, or people eat them?
Maybe, I mean, who knows? There's definitely people that have been told they were getting people's ashes back, and that's not what they got. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they got, like, mix of ashes. Dog ashes or something.
Oh.
Or just some ashes from the fireplace. Grandma.
Is this grandma or coffee?
Grandma, coffee grounds, maybe a little bit of both. For the kisses.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Ah. Anyways, this is crazy. People eating mummies.
Just saying.
I mean, let the mummies give consent, right? I wish this was a visual medium because you both made the same face. I know mummies can't talk, guys.
Yeah.
But that should be like, you know, I decree that when I die, you may eat my body.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be tattooed
on you.
On me. That's the only tattoo.
As you're thrown into the medical building.
Yeah.
I decree.
It's a tattoo I'm going to get when I am very old.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, segue into that.
Yeah.
Ladies and beans, welcome back to the Breakfast Nook. We have our coffee. We are using mugs that have our logo on them, which is super fun. Yes, please check out our merch store. Grab yourself a Morning Murders mug for your final sip.
Yeah.
That sounds like an ad.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Good job.
I wrote that down.
Ah.
But just for this.
We should make an ad for real. We can make that ad for real then send it to all of our friends and be like, put it in your podcast. And then they'll be like, no. And we'll be
okay. Thanks.
We made it for you. Yeah.
We made it for you, beans.
Yeah, beans.
Keep an eye out for that. And then when you hear it, you'll be like, that's when they talked about it in that one episode. Anyways, ladies and beans, this story today comes from my dad. It's been a bit since we did one of my dad's recommendations, so I thought I'd throw one into the mix. My dad is a big fan of the pod, and he is one of the main reasons I love true crime.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Dad. And with that, let's dive in. Ladies and beans, have you ever heard of the Broomstick Murderer?
No, but one time there was this thing about a person that was sitting on a fridge and using a... Never mind.
What?
I'm done. And they died. It's fine.
Wait.
How do those two things...
Did they have a broomstick?
Yep.
With a fridge?
They were on the fridge.
They were sitting on the fridge?
Oh, like they jumped off? Like,
yeah.
They were going to be...
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I think it's like an old joke. One of those jokes where it's like a blonde joke. She's like, she died because she's stupid and a woman. But then also, woman murder is funny for some reason.
Oh,
but I know I didn't come up with that idea by myself.
All right. Okay, Brenna.
I know I didn't have some terrible nightmare about a woman dying.
Someone who murders with a boomstick.
Okay, so like, real moment. When I first started reading this, I thought...
Mine was real too, Nicole! It's a thing that's in my head. The internet did terrible things to my brain.
It did. It did to all of us.
Yeah.
We're unfortunately millennials. So when I first started reading this and writing it, I wrote boomstick because my brain wanted it to be boomstick so badly that I wrote almost half of the episode thinking it was boomstick, but then realized, oh, wait, no, the broom makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, this is not an Ash reference from the Evil Dead group.
I get it.
But...
Gypsy Rose Lee is not Gypsy Rose Blanchard, so I understand your pain.
Yeah.
All right.
Sad.
We're all here for each other. This is a safe space.
It is. But yeah, unfortunately, this is the broomstick murderer, and it's awful. So the broomstick murderer was a man named Kenneth McDuff. So Kenneth was born March 21st, 1946 in Rosebud, Texas. He was one of five kids and a twin. His parents were John Allen and Addie McDuff. During the big Texas construction boom of the 1960s, his father ran a successful concrete business. McKenneth loved his family. He was particularly fond of his mother, who was nicknamed Pistol Packing Mama. After she threatened a school bus driver with her gun, after learning the driver had kicked Kenneth's twin brother Lonnie off the bus. Maybe it was that, or the family understanding that no one is better than us, that made him become a bully. He was known to carefully pick on weaker students at his school, Rosebud High.
Doyle rules!
I cannot.
That whole family.
Right. That's what I'm picturing. It's just mullets everywhere.
Mullets everywhere. Chanting as they drive off a cliff.
Yep.
Oops. So he was on the larger side, but not very strong. So after he lost a fight with a kid named Tommy Salmons. Is that salmons? Is
it salmon?
Does salmon have an L?
Salmon.
Well, I mean, not if it's a last name necessarily.
Salmons.
That's how I'd say it.
All right.
Salmons.
Tommy Salmons.
Okay. That sounds
for
right.
For the beans, it's spelled S-A-M-M-O-N-S.
Yeah.
Please tell us in the comments how you would say this name.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid, Tommy, was considered rather popular, and he was a jock. And Kenneth, because he lost, he quit school and decided to start working for his dad. He would mow lawns, things like that, manual labor type stuff. And I guess the old ladies were quite taken with his lawn mowing techniques. Whatever that means. He also...
I was like, there's like a mow the lawn, like a mulch munch joke in there. I don't have the capacity for it, though.
So he also ended up getting caught for some burglaries and ended up in prison. That was the start of his growing criminal record. It started off small, but then it got so much worse. But before we get there, let's chat about the early stuff. In 1964, when he was 18, he was convicted of 12 counts of burglary and attempted burglary in three Texas counties, Bell, Milam, and Falls. He was supposed to serve 12 four-year prison terms back-to-back, so that's what, 48 years? And him being 18 at the time, he shouldn't have gotten out until he was like 66 or something like that. But obviously, that's not how this case goes. Obviously.
So he was like straight up convicted of something and was supposed to, and is at this point in prison.
Yeah, so, but some things happen. So he gets paroled in December 1965, but then he goes back to prison. Summer love. We used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
Summer love. Back in the early seasons.
Yeah.
So then he goes back to prison after getting into a fight, but then he gets out basically as fast as he gets in. And at this time, he has not been convicted of any murders, just like the burglaries in a fight. Though, even at this time, he brags to a future accomplice that he had already raped and murdered two women at this point. But that was never confirmed. It was right. Just talking. About a year later, in August 1966.
Summer of love.
Summer of love.
I'm putting them all in now.
Oh, perfect. Just sprinkling them all in there. Roy Dale Green and Kenneth became fast friends. They start working together, pouring concrete for Kenneth's dad. Then later decide to go for a drive so Kenneth can find a girl, he says. As they wander around Everman, Texas, they spot a 17-year-old named Robert Brand and his girlfriend named Edna Sullivan. And his girlfriend, Edna Sullivan, who is 16, and also Robert's cousin, Mark Dunman, who was 15 years old at the time. It's about 10 p.m. at this point, and the kids are in a baseball field, so Kenneth decides to park the car about 150 yards away from the kids. When he approached them, he threatened all three with his .38 Colt revolver and forced them to get into the truck of the kid's car. Kenneth then took the keys and drove it off the field, with Roy following in Kenneth's car. They then went to another field that was much further away. Once they arrived, Kenneth got Edna into the trunk of his car with the help of Roy. And as Roy took her to the car, Kenneth said he had to knock him off, referring to the other boys. And then he proceeded to fire 6 shots into the trunk where the boys remained. The boys had been pleading for their lives, but Kenneth didn't even hesitate. And after he killed them, he ordered Roy to wipe the fingerprints off the kid's car, and then they took off. Once they arrived at the second location, they repeatedly raped Edna Sullivan. Later, Roy would claim he did it under duress, but he did it nonetheless.
Oh, my God.
Afterwards, Kenneth was looking for something to strangle her with, and Roy offered his belt, but no. Kenneth decided to use a 3-foot-long piece of broomstick he had in his car. He choked her to death, and then the two men left her body in some bushes. Then they went and bought some Coca-Colas at a nearby gas station and went to Roy's place. The next day, Kenneth needed to get rid of the gun, so he buried it by Roy's garage. They then went to another friend's place, a guy around their age named Richard Boyd, who let Kenneth wash his car at his house. The day after that, Roy couldn't keep it in anymore. It was like eating at him. And he confessed what they did to Richard's parents. They then told Roy's mother. So, like, he's telling the friend's parents, and then that friend's parents is like, well, I'm telling your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So Roy's mother, she was the one who convinced Roy to turn himself in and in turn get Kenneth also arrested. They are arrested, and Kenneth receives a death sentence. He is to be electrocuted. I was going to say executed, but electrocuted. Executed, yes.
Yes.
Electrocuted. Dang it. I was going to do it again. Electrocuted. So Roy received a 25-year sentence and was released in 1979. Hold on. Kenneth's death sentence became a life sentence because the government gets rid of capital punishment for a bit in 1972. Then Kenneth gets a lawyer and applies for parole. He does try to bribe a board member and then gets an additional 2 years for trying to bribe the officer. But due to overcrowding in Texas prisons, he does end up getting granted a parole. Him and like 20 other former death row inmates and 127 murderers all get this.
This is like the second time he's gotten out of like jail prison stuff.
It's like the third time. He went back in, got out.
Years at one point and then got out, even though he was supposed to be in for 48 years.
Yeah.
And then got back in and now he's out again after literally murdering a lady.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's basically, it's just like one of those, what is it? One of those, you know, those doors that just like spin around in circles.
Revolving door?
Yeah, that's it. Revolving door.
I was, well, I was literally, I was going to try to say something else, like a grapefruit door, and she'd be like, yep, wait. Just because he would have been like, that's it, wait
that's,
a minute.
That's not, wait, hold on.
Coffee door.
Coffee
grinder door.
Ah. So once he gets back out into society, he decides to get a job at a gas station. He's making like $4 an hour and even taking classes at Texas State Technical College in Waco. Seems promising, right? Well, others believe that even within 3 days of his release, despite how good it looked on the surface, he'd actually begun killing already.
Oh, my God.
So he's like, look at all these great things I'm doing. But he was already killing people. Some believe. So the body of Sarifa Parker was found October 14th, 1989. Her body was found along the I-35 corridor about 48 miles from Waco. Kenneth is not charged for this crime, but is believed he's involved. Mm. There was no evidence to connect him, only theories. He does end up back in prison, though. He gets back for violating his parole. He was making death threats to an African-American youth back in Rosebud. His mother gets him out, though. She pays the, like, $1,500 and an additional expense charge of $700 to two attorneys who look into ways of getting Kenneth released. They find a way on December 18th, 1990, and he is back out in society.
Ugh.
He possibly keeps out of trouble most of 1991, but then on October 18th of 1991, he picks up a sex worker named Brenda Thompson in Waco. He ties her up and throws her into his car. As he's driving her to another location, he suddenly stops. 50 feet in front of him, there is a police checkpoint. Police notice him and start walking towards his car. As they do, Brenda starts kicking the shit out of the windshield. She manages to crack it several times before Kenneth starts the car again and just takes off. He drives straight at the police, and three of them have to, like, jump out of the way to avoid getting hit by the car. Officers then race to their cars and begin to chase Kenneth. Unfortunately, he gets away. Mm. He turns off his lights and starts to travel down some one-way streets. And he's, like, going the wrong way, of course. And then he parks his car in, like, this wooded area off of Route 84. He then tortures and murders Brenda, leaving her body there, where it remained until it was found in 1998, almost 7 years later. Ladies and beans, I am unfortunately only getting started. Grab your mugs and top off your delicious, comforting coffee because here come the murders. I'm going to take a drink of coffee, actually. Beep,
beep, beep. Thanks for the eye contact while you drink it.
You're
Sorry.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I almost shot that out of my nose.
Sorry.
It's my own fault.
Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, literally it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook, 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER, that's M-U-R-D-E-R, at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Later, on October 15th, 1991, Kenneth and Regina Deanne, a 17-year-old sex worker, were seen arguing at a motel in Waco. They left the motel shortly after, and Kenneth drove her to a remote area by Texas State Highway 6. He took a stocking and tied up her arms and legs before killing her. Her body wasn't discovered until September 29th, 1998. She, like Brenda, had been missing for almost 7 years before her body was found. On September 21st, 1991, the body of 23-year-old Cynthia Renee Gonzalez was found. She was in a heavily wooded area off the I-35. She'd been missing for 6 days at the time. It is believed that her murder is linked to the others, but there was nothing solid to include her murder in Kenneth's final sentencing. Just like before, Kenneth had an accomplice. This time, it was Alva Hank Worley. The two murdered Colleen Reed on December 29th, 1991. She was 28 years old and from Louisiana. The two men drove to a car wash in Austin and took her in front of several witnesses.
Jesus.
They just grabbed her and drove off. And nothing. She was tortured with cigarettes and raped by both men, and then Kenneth murdered her. Valencia Joshua, a sex worker and college student at Texas State with Kenneth, was seen at Kenneth's place, and then later her body was found on March 15th at a golf course near the college. Kenneth had strangled her to death on February 24th, 1992. Melissa Northrup worked at a store Kenneth had previously worked at when she went missing. She was 22 years old and pregnant with her third child. The cash register was missing $250. It was suspected that Kenneth was involved. He had been seen in the area, and one of Kenneth's college friends later came forward and said that Kenneth had tried to enlist him in helping him with the robbery of that store. Melissa was murdered on March 1st, 1992. She was strangled with a rope and dumped in a Dallas County gravel pit, with her hands still tied behind her back, and her body was found by a fisherman on April 26th. One of the biggest issues investigators had with Kenneth McDuff's murders was that they were spread out over different Texas counties. It made it difficult to link them and thoroughly investigate. One thing that really helped in the investigation was that Kenneth was also selling drugs and illegal firearms, which are both federal offenses. On March 6, 1992, a local state attorney issued an arrest warrant for Kenneth. In April 1992, Bell County investigators picked up Alva and questioned him. They knew that Alva was an accomplice of Kenneth's. Alva confessed to his part in the crime of kidnapping Colleen Reed. He admitted to the torture and rape of her, but claimed he did not murder her. That was all Kenneth McDuff. Alva was held at Travis County Jail while the police kept looking for Kenneth. During all of this, Kenneth had moved to Kansas City, Missouri. He started working as a refuse collection, at a refuse collection company, and changed his name to Richard Fowler. America's Most Wanted did an episode that featured Kenneth McDuff on March 1st, 1992. One of Richard Fowler's co-workers, Gary Smithy, was watching the Fox television program and realized that, Richard and Kenneth sure do look a lot alike. He brought it up to another coworker and decided to call the Kansas City police. The police looked into Richard Fowler, and since changing a name doesn't really change a person, turns out Richard had been arrested and fingerprinted for soliciting prostitutes. They compared those fingerprints and, wouldn't you know it, they matched Kenneth McDuff.
So sex workers got him caught.
Sure dang did.
Hell yeah.
Sure dang did. May 4th, 1992, a team of six officers arrested Kenneth as he drove to a landfill just south of Kansas City. One of the arresting officers was the son of an officer who had arrested Kenneth back in 1966. Mm. Generations. Kenneth was charged with one count of capital murder, which means he is eligible to receive the death penalty because the Texas government was among the first to reinstate the death penalty in 1976. Utah was 1973, I believe, but didn't execute anyone until Gary Gilmore in 1976, which we talk about in season one, episode six. It's all a bit confusing, to be honest, because every state did the reinstatement like a little differently. The point is, the death penalty was at one point gone, but only for a brief moment, and a bunch of states were like, no, we want the death penalty. Give us back legal murder. Okay, well, they didn't exactly say that, but I feel
they
like
could've.
They could have. They might as well have. So I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons he didn't stay on death row in 1966 after his arrest and conviction of murder of the murders of Robert Brand, Mark Dunman, and Edna Sullivan was due to the government getting rid of the death penalty in 1972 and overcrowding. Well, again, Texas only stayed without the death penalty until 1976, so he can't have that card anymore. So Kenneth is found guilty in, like, June of 1992. The argument for whether he should receive life imprisonment or the death penalty starts. Then, on February 18th, 1993, he is sentenced to death. He gets the death penalty. There's some delay in his execution due to appeals, all of which are denied, and his execution is rescheduled for November 17th, 1998. After all the appeals were denied, he did end up giving them the location of Colleen Reed's body a few weeks before his execution. His last words were said to be, "I'm ready to be released. Release me." He was 52 years old when he was executed by lethal injection. His body was not claimed by family, and he was buried at Captain Joe Byrd Cemetery, also called Peckerwood Hill. His headstone says the date, 11-17-98, and an X, which means he was executed, along with his death row number 999055. His last meal was possibly a hamburger fashioned to resemble his request of a steak. I'm not really sure. I couldn't find any confirmation. It was also said that he might have been terminally ill at the time with hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. And that is the awful case of Kenneth McDuff, the broomstick murderer. Thanks, Dad. Any final sips?
Why do you have a broomstick in his car?
I don't know, and I feel like, and I don't even know if it was, like, the full broomstick or just the stick part.
That's what I'm saying. Why? Like, why do you have that in your car? What are you planning to do with it?
Sweep leaves?
No. No. Because it's just the broom. Or it's just the stick part.
Mm-hmm.
Was it broken? Was he already beating people with it?
I said it was, what, 3 Ooh. Inches? Hold on. Is that what it said, what I said? Because, like, what even is that? Yeah, 3 foot. So it's a 3 foot piece of broomstick.
Yeah. Why you got that? In your car.
Poking stuff.
Why are you poking stuff?
Sometimes you there's not much to do in the 60s. You gotta just
apparently. He's like, I don't want to get an ice remover for my car. I'm just going to use this broom and scrape ice off.
That won't work.
It won't.
As someone from Chicago.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm telling you.
Well, he's in Texas, so I guess.
See?
Different. I don't know. I really don't.
Do you think any people that got out with him were innocent?
I mean, statistically, absolutely. Because one in 10... At least 1 in 10, maybe even 1 in 8 on death row is innocent or wrongfully convicted.
Mm-hmm.
So with the base on the numbers alone, I 100% believe that some of those people were thankfully given that because mm-hmm. they deserved it. Not everyone, but at least some of them were actually innocent,
mm-hmm.
which is terrifying to think about.
Speaking of terrifying, according to Snopes, the broom death, did a co-ed die pleasuring herself with a broom?
Oh, whoa! That's the thing you were talking about earlier.
A story that I heard was kind of like, I looked it up.
Okay.
Okay, so the claim is a co-ed fatally skewers herself while masturbating with a broom handle.
Wow.
And it has not been proven or denied. It is a legend.
A legend.
So legendary.
Yeah, and it all started because somebody was taught, there was like an email chain about a girl who, I think it was like a joke, so it was about a co-ed who masturbated with a frozen hot dog, lost it, had to go to a doctor's office, and then someone commented on that story and said, I heard of a similar story of a co-ed, so it's like, women are dumb and don't know how to masturbate with things. It's that kind of thing. So it's probably not true. Sure people stick all sorts of things up their part, off their body parts.
I mean,
so I'm not saying
true.
That, like, I cannot say it is possible. Plausible? I don't know. Possible, though. People shove all sorts of stuff up
there. It's
their...
marked legendary, so
Female
masturbation is legendary.
Yeah.
That's all I learned today.
That's
all I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I've had friends in the medical field that are like, the things that we...
Just fine.
That you pull out of
butts. That you pull out of people's
Every
crazy.
Man, yeah. curiosity.
It's so crazy.
So, yeah, that's where that came. It's just an internet legend.
Thank you.
Great.
We'll be sure to link that in the show notes so that people can also read the legends.
Yeah, there it is.
Read
you guys right now.
Thank you.
Woo.
Perfect. My final sip's a little different.
Great.
My final sip is this. So he left a terrible mark everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the criminal justice system is structured, he was able to snake out more than once, and because of that, innocent lives were lost.
Yeah.
That's why. He is a terrible person, yes, but if the structure worked better, if we actually had a system that worked, he wouldn't have been able to get back out and do horrible things. And he doesn't even necessarily have to have the death penalty for that to happen. Like, if we had a system that actually worked the way it says it's going to work, then people would have been saved. So just to reiterate the names of these people, let's go through them.
I wanted
again.
To get my thing out.
Yes.
I had a feeling. I looked over and I saw your iPad had a thicker final sip, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make sure I say this dumb thing before you say the poignant thing.
Oh, great.
So I got it out of my system.
It's a little balanced.
Go ahead.
Gotta have both. So the names of these innocent lives that were lost were Robert Brand, 17, Mark Dunman, 15, Edna Sullivan, 16, Sarifa Parker, 29, Brenda Thompson, 36, Regina D. Allen Moore, 21, Colin Reed, 28, Valencia Joshua, 22, and Melissa Northrup, 22, and her unborn child. Mm. Losing the death penalty for that moment wasn't the issue. Overcrowding shouldn't have been an issue. There should be a better system in place. I say this all the time. We shouldn't just have places we throw offenders and just let it be or kill them. There needs to be an actual system of reform or a proper place to hold people who can't be put back into society. But we are currently stuck in a revolving door system that is really just a business. They're privately owned, and people make more money off death row inmates. And as I've said before, and I said moments ago, actually, 1 in 10, maybe even 1 in 8, on death row shouldn't be there. They are either innocent or wrongly convicted. Since 1973, at least 190 people have been exonerated from death row in the U.S., according to the Death Row Penalty Information Center. And that number has probably even increased since I read that. The death penalty won't bring anyone back. It only does more harm because the system is not flawless. And when I say it does more harm, it's because people who shouldn't be in those chairs or be in those positions are in them because of the way the system works. And people who should still have more chances or still be able to go to court or get more information into their cases and workload and prove their innocence or prove the different conviction that's actually necessary don't get that opportunity because they just get executed. And now there's even a thing happening where I think it was Alabama. I just read this. A man was executed with a new injection thing, and it's the it's not like it's so horrible, and you're basically suffocated to death. And I think it was the priest who was in there said it was the most horrific thing they'd witnessed, and it just happened like not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. I read that too. Yeah,
it's just awful. I mean, I was reading it like as it was progressing and getting closer to the date, and I just, you know, hopeful, even though I knew it wasn't going to change, you know, hopeful that something would happen and, it, you know, they would be told you can't do it this way. Because it's like not only were they putting this man to death, they tortured him. So it's legal murder and they legally tortured this man to death. How is that justice? How is that okay? It literally makes you just as bad as all these other people. You just have this flag on you saying, well, we're doing it for justice reasons. We're doing it because this is the legal way to murder someone. I don't care what they did. You're still killing them. I don't care. Yes, people do terrible things and there should be consequences. But murdering them literally changes nothing. It brings no one back. Now they don't have to deal with it. As you've said many times, Brenna, now it's not that person's problem anymore. There's information that we will never get from them and we will have no opportunity to try to get from them because they're gone. They don't have to live with any possible guilt later. Nothing. They get to just move on or whatever happens after us, right? Whatever the energy changes into or doesn't, they get to go there. Whereas the families and the other people are still stuck here suffering. It does nothing. It just makes people more money. Mm-hmm. And I think it's bullshit. That's my rant. Let me get off my soapbox. Beans. Thank you so much for sharing your coffee with us. Dad, thank you as always for being such a wonderful supporter and sending us cases and stories to talk about. Thanks, Dad. We look forward to sharing more coffee with you here in the Breakfast Nook on this lovely podcast that we like to call
Morning Mortals.
Woo!
Thank you for listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MORNINGMURDERS.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening! sometimes I think I'm going to die in this sweater, and I don't know. Maybe there's one day I'm not going to get out. I'm going to have to cut myself out of this sweater, you
guys.
That's
cool.
That's okay.
That's pretty cool. I can't wait. Just record it.
Don't bury me in it, okay? I hate this sweater.
All right.
If I die in it, don't bury me in it.
Okay, we'll make sure we cut it off.
Yeah.
If there's ever an accident, we'll just make sure we're like, we had to cut the sweater off of you even though there's nothing wrong.
I wasn't even wearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to run into my closet and cut it up.
Mm-hmm. We had to cut it off.
In the middle of the night, just wake up Terry, just cut it off. And they're like, what's happening? Like,
we had to save her. She wasn't wearing it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. I don't know. Nothing makes sense anymore.
In her will, it says, delete all my my internet browsing history and cut this sweater.
Cut this sweater into pieces. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now I need you to bury it in four corners of the universe.
Mm-hmm. It's one of your horcruxes or whatever that is.
That's it. Mm-hmm. It's this fucking sweater that I always get stuck in and think I might die in. It's not even that cute.
Y'all gonna die in here. Every time she puts the sweater on, that girl from the Resident Evil movie comes in, she goes, you're all going to die in that.
And you're like, no!
Resident Evil. Remember when they made that movie before they figured out how to make... like Marvel and like comic book movies and video game movies, other than Street Fighter. Street Fighter is an immaculate movie.
Street Fighter.
But the Resident Evil movie, we were like, all right.
Yeah.
And then all the other movies afterwards were like, us too.
Yeah.
Oh, Resident Evil. Resident Evil, Underworld, and like Blade, all those movies all came out. We loved vampires, guys.
We did.
Vampires and zombies.
I still love vampires.
Vampires are great.
Mm-hmm. Vampires.
Lumpa.
Dracula Dead Loving It is one of my favorite movies.
Did you guys know that Bram Stoker is Irish from Dublin?
I didn't.
And I didn't know that either. And they have a festival. I was just listening to Conan O'Brien's. Conan O'Brien had an episode on his podcast where he had a dude that runs a festival for Bram Stoker. Bram Stoker.
We have computers at our fingertips.
Brandon McClanahan?
Brandon McClanahan!
Bam!
Wait. Oh, because I put Bean.
Bean Stoker.
It's like Bran Stoker.
Bram.
Bram?
Bram? Bram?
Oh, yeah. Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker. The
B-R-A-M-S,
guy
yeah.
that wrote Dracula
is from
Ireland. I think that gets lost because we just go like, maybe they're just an Eastern European, just like Dracula in Transylvania, and that's not.
You know, I thought he was British. I really didn't know.
He's Irish. Mm-hmm.
Really didn't know.
Yeah. So, and there's a festival in Dublin where they try to...
A festival?
Yeah.
A festival?
Where they try
a
to reclaim
a festival?
No, just a Bram Stoker festival.
What does that look like? Like, I don't know why. You know when you just look at a picture and you go, I know that guy. But, like, I don't know that guy. Because I didn't know what he looked like. He looks like somebody else. I can't put my finger on it. It's like another actor.
Beardman.
I don't know.
Beardman Enterprises?
I don't know.
LLC?
What's his name that dies in season one of Game of Thrones?
Sean
Bean? A little Sean Beanie?
Maybe. Yeah, if he had the hair. I think I see where it's in the eyes. You're looking at the eyes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And that covered us.
If Sean Bean got a haircut and had a beard.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, this guy, is he dead by the... did they live at the same time? Or is Sean Bean...
reincarnated.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know.
That's fun. When did he die?
Yeah, what does it say?
I don't know. You guys want me to... Okay, he died... Oh, he died April 20th, 1912.
All right.
Oh. So, Sean... I don't think Sean was 1912.
I don't know.
One never
maybe
knows.
Maybe 1910.
Who knows?
They crossed each other.
Look it up.
What if it's like one of those things where like Anne Frank and Martin Luther King were alive at the same time?
No. Sean Bean... I was born in 1959.
Mm, oh, so
just
close.
A little. I don't know though, so but close. look at them eyes.
I see.
Like Listen. A young, like, okay, like that picture I looks see. Like Bram.
Sure.
Like,
okay,
you guys,
I can
sort of see it. Whatever. Let's just do a podcast.
Amanda! 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 Nicole! Okay. Beautiful. Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh dear.
This isn't a visual medium, but yeah. Guys, we were just doing flips in here.
Flips in the breakfast.
Chocolate hot coffee's here. Didn't spill a drop.
Nicole is standing on her hands right now.
Yeah, it happens.
Some She's been upside down the whole time.
The whole time?
All right.